Hot 1027 Business with Michael Avery.
New data from FNB Merchant Services shows that the South African online e-commerce market has grown rapidly and is currently estimated at just under 200 billion rand per annum. We've got companies, the well-known ones like Takealot and Woolies and Checkers, all adapting to new consumer habits. And just today, we had Pick n Pay announcing that it's relooking its online offering with Mr. Delivery. Now, before the pandemic, e-commerce accounted for 8% of total card payments spent in the retail space, with 35% of the sector being made up by spending on things like travel and accommodation. The end of last year, that had almost flipped on its head. We see e-commerce accounting for 14% of total card payments, with travel and accommodation taking up around 11%. So I'm joined now by Dashni Vilakazi, MD of The Media Shop, to double-click into the world of e-commerce. Dash, always great to have you on the show. Why has e-commerce grown so exponentially?
Thank you, Michael. Michael, it's literally shot the lights out. And as you mentioned, the 200 billion per annum that we're seeing now, by 2025, that is going to double to about 400 billion. I mean, that's double. Wow. This advancement really indicates how COVID exponentially accelerated this whole e-commerce platform. And what we're finding is that before the pandemic, e-commerce accounted only for around about single-digit percentages of like total card payments in the retail space. But now over one-third of this was made up, then one-third of it was made up by travel and spending, which, as you know, has literally reduced to single digits due to us being on and off the red lists. Not all major retailers, you know, were prepared for the sudden change, but those that were very, very successful to adopt this fast, reliable and logistical solution in meeting the delivery demand. And delivery was one of the biggest indicators of customer experience. So key challenges to overcome were the trust factor. Consumers were feeling this trust factor, like I pay online. I don't have any, you know, tangible, I don't see anything. And then my groceries or my products just arrive. So that has really had to, a lot of investment had to go into there because of the spiking demand. And this shift to e-commerce has really increased this competitiveness, especially when we see it for smaller B2B independent retailers who have recognized that their client base can be expanded beyond their immediate regional presence from bricks and mortar.
It's phenomenal, isn't it? So the scalability of e-commerce, and it ranges. I've got a friend who had a very small bakery who moved her bakery online, and almost overnight, with a bit of savvy kind of social media self-promotion and marketing, she's expanded it to a point where she's actually struggled to keep up with the demand and has to increase capacity as a result. This scalability of e-commerce is really one of its core strengths, or it's really one of the pillars or foundations of it. When you look at trends in the sector, though, what stands out for you? Because e-commerce is not like it's anything new. We've had the likes of Takealot and a few others before the pandemic, but now it just feels so different. Is it the trust thing? Is it that we're now a lot more comfortable and we understand that you can click on something and it'll be at your door in a couple of hours?
There are about five trends that are looming in this channel. The customer is still king. The platform is here to stay. And with the platform here to stay, it's the evolving nature of the platform. Artificial intelligence and augmented reality has stepped forward in a big way. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. Payment options or payment forms have come to the fore. The financial services industry has really stepped up to that, and the telecom and the environmental impact. I mean, this is something that we didn't necessarily have to this critical intent in the past. So with the, when I look at the wine industry, for example, I just like to talk a little bit of the wine industry. The wine industry has bypassed that e-commerce is a nice-to-have platform. It's one of the leading wine estate has experienced sales that has literally also shot the roof off, where, you know, between the period where from March to May 2020, when the president had pretty much locked down on alcohol sales, online sales post that rocketed to about 1,400% compared to the same period in 2019. And many of those have come from first-time buyers. Almost 65% of first-time buyers have decided that they wanted to shop online for wine.
I just want to, yes. And we can carry on after this, just this brief comment, but I've always thought, I mean, Western Cape wineries, fantastic. You go down there from Joburg, the big smoke, generally on holiday, you visit a few, but you think their big market is in Joburg. So e-commerce is a great way to geographically connect these wine estates in the Western Cape to their key market here in Joburg.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I said, you know, it's regional, it's shot the lights out regionally and internationally, even more so now, right? And when consumers, you know, when consumers are deprived of their favorite things, and only then do you know where the demand really, you know, chips in. And some estates have also seen, you know, the retired market who in the past have visited the stores and have resisted registering online to purchase wine, have shifted their behavior also. So when we delve into why the customer is still king, even if the digital is the channel to them, you know, in the past, we've had the human interactions, the tangible of touch and feel. For many businesses and customers, one of the aspects of e-commerce is how do they bring that human interaction back into it? Although the remoteness, you know, you're still having to experience the remoteness, but customers are showing that at a touch of a button, that they can have access to home services, groceries, takeaways, great tech deals, deals on vacations, entertainment, even security. And what businesses have done is they've also now leveraged the social selling aspect of one of their channels, which is really the modern day relationship building. You know, the practice of using brands' social media channels to connect with prospects, to develop this connection with potential customers. And AI has stepped forward with predictive analysis in making that whole shopping experience so much better. Augmented reality, where you can look and see what you look like in terms of sampling what a product looks like on you. And that has taken it to the other critical factor, which is how do you manage customer data and the privacy of this data, especially in question, being the latest laws of Poppy and Poppier.
Yeah, yeah. And so, it comes back to what you were talking about with regards to trust, doesn't it? Because, you know, if I don't trust your site to deal with my data in a way that gives me confidence that you're not going to be selling it to third parties, I'm unlikely to go back.
Yes, and that's what customer data and privacy has become, and it's accelerated, especially because of e-commerce. The other factor that's come in is the customers and clients are looking to companies and wanting to inspect their green credentials and understand the value chain. You know, examining every aspect of a retailer's value chain ensures that products and processes are very sustainable, responsibly sourced, right down to the delivery and the packaging of. And these are the trends that are coming through. And between tech and financial services, they are also looking for other opportunities with retailers to see what other payment options are out there, as in the buy now, pay later, the interest-free credit, and purchasing, you know, it's making it easier to purchase big-ticket items online.
It's fascinating, isn't it? We're going to be focusing on this on the show tomorrow, where we're going to be talking about strategies to ensure that you can convert website browsers to paying customers at the end of the day. And there are all kinds of strategies you can employ. Don't ask customers to register when they go to the checkout. Allow them to buy as a guest and maybe get them to register after if you want to build them into the community. But it's just really such an interesting space because it also has this opportunity at an SME level to bring so many more businesses into the formal economy. What do you see as some of the predictions for the sector? Do you reckon there's going to be an e-commerce revolution in Africa?
I definitely see that coming through, and I see that more so with, you know, the middle class is growing on the continent, and it's set to rise with so many entrepreneurs wanting a piece of this pie, right? And some of these considerations that really have been coming through is the use of mobile-based payments. You know, with mobile-based payments, a couple of the financial services and telecoms have really grown this category. And most people that enjoy shopping online are also afraid of getting defrauded and being sent substandard goods, where e-commerce e-commerce sites are now even looking at cash on delivery as a contractable agreement between different parties and the delivery of goods. So on the continent, there isn't, post office services are almost non-existent in many parts of the continent. And now they're looking to where drones have stepped into the discussion, and where many e-commerce sites are looking for, you know, actual locations of customers and they can't find them, and using the likes of closest locations and closest data points where they can drop off, you know, the goods. But there is still an even bigger competition that will come through from bricks and mortar stores where, you know, you've got to contend with this traditional business. And these stores have built a customer base over many, many years and are, you know, the go-to business. They are the go-to business for many clients. However, with online stores, the fact that you don't have to contend with the expenses, you can, you know, sharpen your pencil with regards to the cost of products.
Yeah, and it does also mean that the barriers to entry do come down. It becomes an extremely competitive space. But I loved your point about the customer being king, because that's one of those old tried and tested maxims of retail. Next to kind of stack them high and sell them low. I remember the CEO of Clicks, David Neal, saying that that's really how we built Clicks into the giant that it is today. But those hold true, even if you're talking about this new world of digital. That was Dashni Vilakazi, MD of The Media Shop, with the clicks and conversions of the e-commerce boom here on Hot Business. Well, that's a wrap from me, the birthday girl, Carolyn Stain, up next with Hot Classics on Hot 102.7. Happy birthday, Chevalier Carolyn. And don't forget that you can stream the best old school and R&B in the country with Simon on DSTV channel 822 or on hot1027.co.za. Good night.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.